This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today our special guest is Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago, and he's set to join us in just a moment. First off, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack talking about last week's National Nutrition Security and Healthcare Summit. Says the time is right.
Poor nutrition is now the leading cause of death in the U.S. and is responsible for more than 600,000 deaths. But hunger and diet-related diseases are almost entirely preventable. At USDA, we administer some of the most effective tools to help address some of these problems. And right now, I think we have a window of opportunity to take our powerful programs and to do even more. From the president on down, there is indeed strong interest in promoting nutrition security and racial equity. We simply need to meet this moment.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. We'll have some ways that you can talk one-on-one with Bob in just a few minutes. But, Bob, let's start as we talk nearly every week about markets. And, you know, I could pick out one or two, and we could run all day on those. One that just kind of I can't quite figure out is that cotton market. Despite all of the negative news coming out of the field, the supply's not there. We've seen demand holding somewhat steady, but yet the price just continues to fall and seems like it's divorced itself from everything else that's trading. Is that one that's been on your radar at all?
It has. And interestingly, I do a lot of, I lean on data. Okay. I know it's not something you can use in a vacuum, but I lean on data. And what I mean by that is I can take a look month to month at various commodities and look at tendencies that they've had over some period of time. You could choose your period of time. And that's part of the magic sauce, I guess, in terms of, you know, which ones you're going to do and when you're going to do it. But cotton has leaned towards the short side, at least on the spreads. And that's kind of interesting, right? I mean, I think you're right. I think fundamentally on the demand side of the equation, for the most part, you would think that, or at least the supply side, you would think that the market should be holding steady, and yet this thing keeps pushing down. So we've got this seasonal robustness, shall we say, and there's always variations. So even though I say this, if the market tends to go down around this time of the year, there's always those anomalies where it has just shot straight up. So you got to be very adept at, you know, gauging those historical tendencies versus what's actually happening in the marketplace right now. So it's got that working against it. It's got the harvest pressure working against it, and I'm sure that's in tandem with the seasonal tendency. So that's pushing it down. Interestingly, I read the week-to-week blurbs that come out from the USDA, and it's kind of quiet out there, generally speaking, in terms of demand. So that's kind of working against the market. That's just my summation of the reports out from the USDA that are published weekly basis. Digging into the data a little bit in terms of ending stocks, I mean, the projections that came out from the latest Outlook report showed that there was an uptick in probable ending stocks basis the October numbers here in the U.S., an uptick in the probable ending stocks in China. This is for 2022-23. Brazil, an uptick. India, an uptick. And Australia, an uptick. So we've got this nice little storm happening where we've got harvest pressure. We've got the seasonal tendencies to the downside. At least they have a bias to the downside. You've got a situation where projections from the USDA in terms of ending stocks are being tweaked a little bit higher. And here we are. So granted, year on year, we're not putting out the numbers like we did in terms of ending stocks relative to last year. Last year's 21-22 estimates for the United States was 3.75 million pound bales, right? 1,480,000 pound bales. and we're at 2.8-ish. So, yes, it's less than last year, but it's still up month on month. And so the trend is, on the supply side, growing a little bit. And I think all those things coming together and converging together are pushing this market to the downside. Looking at the actual particulars for the cotton market, if you look at the December futures, open interest is increasing as we move lower. So my interpretation of some classic technical analysis is that when volume is good and open interest is increasing, that means that you got new players going in on that trend. And I think the volume has been fairly average. I mean, you get some days where the volume for the D's cotton futures is 6,000. You get some days where it's 5,400. So there's roughly about a 10% variation, you know, in volume over the last, say, 4 to 6 weeks. So that's normal. And I think we're in that normal area in terms of volume. But we're also seeing the open interest, you know, showing that, you know, we might be a little concerned on this push to the downside. So put all that together, you're seeing a move to the downside. I think it's going to bounce at some point. I don't know when or where. I'm horrible, you know, picking tops and bottoms. And I don't know where that's going to bottom out, but I hope it does for those producers out there who aren't hedged anyway. And I think that's just where we're at right now. So I think you're right in terms of the fundamental situation, save for the fact that recently the supply side has gone up and we just keep pushing on down with this cotton market. Again, I'm not sure when it's going to bottom out. Maybe harvest needs to be completely done with, and then we'll start to see some move to the upside, and we'll take it from there.
We routinely will talk about grains and oil seeds, and livestock's usually a topic of our conversation. And if you don't mind, let's just go that livestock route. With the drought that we've seen this year over the western portion of the U.S., culling of cattle, there are some that are anticipating higher prices for cattle coming down the road with tighter supplies. Is that something that's on your radar?
Yeah, that's definitely one of the storylines. You hit the nail on the head there. So the pace of cow slaughter is still robust. That's obviously showing a little bit up in the showing up in the lean beef category. For the prices for lean and grinding beef being a little bit lower. So, for example, rib primals, round primals, chuck primals, all up last week. Choice beef cutout prices up last week. Live fed steer prices up last week. But the trimmings, the 50%, 90%, were both lower. So that's a testament to the fact that, you know, we're getting that increase in the lean beef category, in the lean grinding beef, because of the robust pace of cow slaughter. So obviously, when you move the mamas along and you don't intend to replace them right away, that down the road should create some kind of, you know, dearth in supply, relative dearth, and that'll help drive prices higher. Now, the caveat is always, and I, you know, it's something we talk about on the macro front, week in and week out when we chat, you know, what's happening with the dollar in the export market? What's happening with the perception of affordability here from the U.S. consumer? So granted, I think the fundamental equation is looking good for next year in terms of the supply side. But then we got to also consider what's going to be happening with the demand. And that's a big unknown right now, right? There's some who are calling for some kind of big slowdown next year, mild slowdown. How's it going to affect consumers? How fast can we get through this inflationary you know, big gray cloud that we have over us? And those are answers that are just questions that are just too big to answer at the moment. It's just going to take time to see how it works out. So, yes, I think that down the road, things look pretty good for cattle prices. I mean, I mentioned some of the things that are affecting in the short term here. Cash looks pretty good. I mean, last week in the South, live cattle traded about $150, $2 higher than the previous week. Northern dressed at $240, which is $5 higher than the previous week. Cash for this week is called higher again. The Packers seem like they're pretty aggressive on the throughput. The box beef prices are strong, like I mentioned when I went through those categories. So fundamentally speaking, things look pretty good, especially on the cash side of the equation. Slaughter was off a little bit on the week, but still strong. Slaughter was 668 versus 673 the previous week, but 668 is still a very sizably good number. And in terms of the independent parties out there who place their bets every day and week and month, that being the commitment or the managed money traders who are big speculators in the marketplace that the commitment of trades report follows, you know, they're believers that this market should stay strong. And that is shown up in the fact that through the report that came out recently, they were net buyers of about 28,500 contracts with live cattle contracts, bringing their net long higher to about 60, just shy of 66,000 contracts. So they're still willing to bet the market higher also. So I think that, you know, we got some gray clouds down the road just based on the demand side of the equation, how that's going to set up. But the supply side definitely looks like it's entrenched to lean towards the bullish camp.
So, Bob, just about a minute left and impossible to answer this, I know, but I'm going to ask anyway. Strong dollar really is good for imports, but really tough on exports. Are you watching that down the road?
Yeah. So when I was, I'll give you a short answer to the question. When I was in the pits down at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange back when there were pits, you had your market that you looked at, but then on the boards all around you were other markets that traded, and those other markets that traded were up there being broadcast, you know, real time, microsecond by microsecond, because you had to keep tabs of what was happening. You can't just live in a bubble. And I think more so now than ever, that's true. And definitely traders who are trading cattle or any kind of exportable commodity out of the United States are watching the dollar. They're watching the equity markets. They're watching the global climate. They're watching logistical issues like what's happening on Mississippi. They're watching all these other things that are happening. So, yeah, there's no way you can avoid watching what's happening with the dollar, because it's clearly impacting at least some traders out there, which is going to impact, you know, whether or not a market continues to move to the upside or the downside.
How about contact information one-on-one? How do we do that?
Sure. Pick up the phone. Give me a call. Number is 312-987-2053. To reach me via email at bmauer@manducatrading.com, or come check out our website, www.manducatrading.com or myfuturesadvisor.com.
Bob Mauer is with Manduca Trading in Chicago on today's Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest, Bob Mauer with Manduca Trading in Chicago.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Did you know that the world-famous Café du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like at Café du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading, Chicago, online by futuresadvisor.com.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Did you know that the world-famous Café du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like at Café du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. It's the Agribusiness Report.
It's certainly a privilege to host this group of individuals and organizations working to tackle food and nutrition insecurity in our country.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack at USDA headquarters in Washington hosting a National Nutrition Security and Healthcare Summit. Most of the attendees either coming from the nutrition side of things or from the healthcare system side. Vilsack would like to see a better merger of the two since he says poor nutrition's the leading cause of death in this country. Many diseases could be prevented by better diets. But many doctors are not trained or paid to do diet-related screenings, and insurance companies don't reimburse for them. But Vilsack says,
we recognize the crucial importance of revising our national healthcare system to one that not only treats disease, but as importantly, prevents it from happening in the first place.
He says it's a big job, but many medical organizations are getting on board with the food as medicine movement. Other groups, private and government, are working on improving food access. Gary Crawford, Washington.